Mishnah Yomis for Sunday, the 11th day of Shvat, Tavshin Pei Dalet, Masechet Ksubos, Perek Shishi, Mishnah Aleph. There's a halacha that if a person injures someone else, he has to pay five types of damages: Nezek, Tzar, Ripui, Sheves, Boishas. This is, in a normal circumstance, goes to the person who he injured, who he damaged. However, what happens if he injures a married woman? What of these five damages go to the husband and what go to the wife? Now, there are certain parts of the damages which are clearly going to go to the husband. So, we know that the husband is zoicha, he acquires anything she produces and also anything she finds. Mitzioso masedao belong to the husband. Similarly, the fruits of her properties that she's brought into the marriage, which we call Nichsei Melug, that's also the husband has. And for this reason, it's also known and quite simple, that quite plain, that the payment for medical bills, Ripui, and Sheves, and unemployment, also will be going to the husband. So these two forms of damages, Ripui and Sheves, will go to the husband. Why? Because the husband has the obligation of paying for medical bills. The husband is the one who's also got the rights to what she produces when she's employed. If she's been injured, then he gets the payment for the lack of work or for the work that she could have produced. So Ripui and Sheves, that goes to the husband. What about the Tzar, the payment for pain? The pain that she suffered, that clearly will go to the wife. She's the one, it's her body who suffered the pain. So those three forms of the three of the five are clearly defined as to who is going to get the receive the payment for them. Again, Ripui and Sheves will go to the husband, Tsar will go to the wife. What about the other two forms of damages? Boishes, the humiliation, and Nezek, the loss in value. Who do they go to the wife or to the husband? Says the Mishnah, Mitzias or Isha, Perek Shishi Mishnah Aleph, the wife finds, Umasi Adaha, and what she produces, Labaila, is owned by the husband. And that was learnt earlier on in Perek Dalad. We learnt the reason for that. Viyurashosa, and what she inherits after she's been married, let's say a rich relative or died and left a nice estate for her, Hu Oichel Peres Bechayah. The husband has the rights to eat the fruits in her lifetime. But boshta ufgama, what about the embarrassment, payment for embarrassment and payment for pagama, loss in value? These in a situation where the wife has been injured by someone, shelo, she gets to keep them and not the husband. Pagama, what we say pagama, that's nezek. That's what we normally call nezek. The value of what she would be worth if she was sold on the market as a shifcha, as a slave, how much would she be worth before the injury and how much after the injury, and the difference is called the pagam or nezek, and that she gets as well. So the two areas where it's a bit unsure as to who gets it, the boishes and the pagam, this Mishnah tells us, according to the Tanakhama, that the wife gets it. Gets the total 100% of the loss of value and 100% of the boishas, of the shame, payment, compensation for the shame she suffered. Rabbi Huda ben Beseira says it depends. Bisman shebeseira, where the injury took place in a hidden place on the body, and therefore he didn't, the one who did the injury did not embarrass her in front of people, then losh nechalokim, she gets 2/3 of the payment of the boishas and fgam, v'loyachot, and the husband gets 1/3. Most of it will go to the woman herself, in other words, 2/3 of that. That's because it was basesa, it was hidden. However, bizman shebegolu, when the injury took place in a very noticeable part of her body, and the embarrassment took place in front of everybody, loy shnechalokim, then the husband will get 2/3 of the payment for this embarrassment and loss in value, and she'll only get 1/3. Why? Because being that it was injury took place in a very visible place on her body, therefore it's the husband who's going to suffer more in terms of the injury that the wife sustained, in these two areas, and therefore Shaloi, and therefore he gets 2/3 and she will get 1/3. Now, what do you do with the actual money? It's also interesting. This is all part of Rabbi Huda's shita. Shaloi inosin miyat. The husband's share in the payment for embarrassment and the pagam, the husband gets straight away, and he can use the cash to what he wants. Veshela, but her portion of the damages and payment, that goes yilokach ben karka, you use it, you invest it in to buy some real estate, poichel peres, and the husband can get to eat the fruits, literally the fruits of that real estate or that like a karka, which is really hers. It's like she inherited properties from someone after the marriage, where we said there that what do you do with that? The husband has the rights to enjoy the fruits of it. Now, according to the Tanakama, he will hold that you buy land and he eats the fruits. That applies to all the payment of the boishes and the fgam. Who's the halacha like? The halacha is like Rabbi Huda, that there is an apportionment depending on whether it was done, whether it was in a visible place or not in a visible place. If it's in a non-visible place or not so evident, it's more of a hidden place on the body, and she gets 2/3 and he gets 1/3. And if it's in a very conspicuous place, then he will get 2/3 and she 1/3. Mishnah base. The Chachamim said that a person has to give a nice dowry for his daughter, and that's to ensure that there'll be people interested in marrying his daughter. Now, what happens when they're discussing shidduchim and they're talking about marriage, and the father has pledged a certain amount for that nadunya, for his son-in-law to bring into the marriage with his daughter. How strong is that commitment? What happens if he backs down from it? Some say that a chosen can give his father-in-law an ultimatum and say, either give me what was arranged, or I'm not going to marry her. She's going to stay in her father's house. Some say a chosen can't do that. He has to marry her, and then he has to go to court and ask for the nadunya. and some hold, that the chosen cannot actually make an ultimatum to his father-in-law, but he can take him to court, and that's in fact the halacha. The halacha is that he can't just do things of his own accord. He has to go to Beis Din and try to fight it that way. Our mission is going to talk about a case where the Orus dies, and the Arusa, the betrothed girl, now falls before the brother for Yibum. What rights does the Yavam have, the brother-in-law? Says the Mishnah, HaPosek Mois L'Chasane, a person who arranged to give money for his son-in-law, his future son-in-law. The Nudunya, in other words, the dowry. Umeis Chasane, and his son-in-law dies, tragically. Dies before the Nisuin, before he gave over the money. And now this Arusa is left facing her brother-in-law, the brother of her deceased husband. She requires, of course, either Yibum or Galitza from him, if she doesn't want. Says the Mishnah, what happens in such a case? Yochel hu loima, amr chacham yochel hu loima, isha yoima, the father can tell the Yavam, the brother-in-law, of his daughter, lochicha ha'yisa roitze litain. For your brother, I was prepared to give the money for the Ndunya, for the dowry. The loch, but for you, Iafshilita, no, I don't have an interest in giving it. You give a chalitza, you give a yibum, but I'm not giving any present. The Gemara brings a brisa that even if the first chas, even if his brother, the one that died, was an Amoritz, and the second one, the one that's the Yavam, that's alive, is a Talmud Chacham, doesn't matter. The father of the girl, or the Kala, can say, I'm sorry, I don't want it. I wouldn't have offered it to you, even if you're a Talmud Chacham. I offered it to your brother, whether it's an Amoritz or not, but I liked him better, whatever reason it was. The father of the Kala can say that no one can force him to give no one can force him to give the Nadunya. That's what he can say. The Yerushalmi asks a question, and by the way, that's even if the daughter wants. Even if the daughter wants the chosen, the father can still say, I don't want him, and I'm not giving an adunya for him. The Yerushalmi asks, isn't the discussion about an adunya, about a dowry before marriage, isn't that one of those things which are dvorim haniknim b'amira, something which can be acquired by words, just by saying? I.e. that since the person, the chosen, has been koina, the money of the nadunya of the dowry, then surely the yavam, the brother of the deceased chosen, should be yorishit. He should be getting it, because if it's acquired by mira, just by stating it, that means that the brother of the chosen should be yorishit. The Gemara answers, and they say, Yishalmi answers, that the father only pledged the dowry with the intention that the chosen would go ahead and marry his daughter. In other words, bring it to the chuppah. And there's no way that he would have pledged the dowry knowing, or with the chosen not even getting up to the stage of nesoin. And therefore, there's no kinyan on the dowry yet.